Blog Talk Radio.
AVS Media Demo. AVS Media Demo.
Media demo.
AVS Media Demo.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening, each and every one of you. You are listening to The Drive at 5 Live, and I am your hostess, Patricia McDowell, from the great city of Yonkers. And each week, we take you on a journey to better health and wellness. And this whole month, we have been focusing on breast cancer and breast cancer research. And this is our last week. And if you missed any of our shows, you know, please go to our website at, or actually come back to the Blog Talk Radio show, and you can find all of the previous shows that were aired. And I have to say, we had some phenomenal people on the radio for the month of October. We had Ellen Edwards. We had Dorothy Ferriero. We had Wendy Johnson, and they did a roundtable discussion. We also had on the line. We also had the next following week. We had Erica McQueen, who talked about the Angel Bra, and that was very exciting with a lot of information. And then the week after that, we had Linda, who talked about prevention, and this is from a medical point standpoint of view. And today we have my Sora, Sandra D. Fields, and Sandra has 35 years background in providing services for women after earning a bachelor's degree of science in nursing from Hampton University. She obtained a license in the state of New York as a registered nurse. And for 2 years, she practiced maternity nursing at Mount Sinai Hospital, led to a graduation of studies at Columbia University and a master's degree of science in midwifery. Staff nurse midwife position at I can't even read my own handwriting. But anyway, I'm going to let her come on and talk about all the things that she's doing. She's doing some really wonderful things. And if you grab a pen and paper, because I know Sandra has a lot of information to share with you. So, Sandra, are you on?
I am.
Excellent. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Where do you work, and what are you going to present to our audience today?
Well, today my topic is going to be on digital infrared thermal imaging.
Mm-hmm.
It is my company, and the name of it is New Dimension Thermal Imaging, and I'm very excited about it. The reason I named the company New Dimension is because thermography added the dimension of prevention into the whole scheme of breast cancer awareness. Most of the emphasis has been on detection of breast cancer, and thermography comes from a different end of it. It comes from the avenue of prevention. Unfortunately, the message to women is that 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer, and there's not much you can do about it except go in and have a mammogram to find out if you're the 1 in 8, and then unfortunately end up with very invasive treatment, disfigurement in some circumstances, and not a really appreciable difference in survival rate. And that, unfortunately, is not the only approach to the whole situation. And the other side, which is the side I'm on, is not given much credence or much airtime. So I'm excited about this opportunity to let women know that there is an alternative approach, and it is available in New York, mm-hmm. has been. I've been practicing as a certified clinical thermographer in both Westchester, New York, as well as Manhattan, New York, for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And many women have abandoned the practice of screening their breasts with mammogram and have adopted thermography as their new way of screening because it is safe, non-radiation, it is painless because it doesn't touch you, it's non-invasive because it uses a digital camera and no energy from the camera goes into your body, and because it's truly earlier detection than a mammogram by up to 8 to 10 years. Detection of breast cancer 8 to 10 years before a mammogram gives a woman a whole lot more options than she has once the cancer is detected by mammogram.
Right.
Detection when cancer is at its earliest stage adds the dimension of prevention. And that means that added to your repertoire of treatment becomes simple lifestyle and dietary changes that can halt the disease in its tracks, reverse it back to where it came from, and prevent the entire scenario of chemotherapy, radiation treatment, mastectomy, lumpectomy, and all the rest of that that goes along with mammogram screening. And that's why women love it. The problem is they don't hear about it.
Right.
And their doctors, many of them, haven't heard about it for various reasons. And the ones that have heard about it are reluctant to recommend it primarily because our medical system does not have a treatment plan in place for early stage cancer. Mm. If you pay attention to the ads that come out about Breast Cancer Awareness Month and having your mammogram screenings, you don't hear the word early detection anymore. They've removed that from their ads because they know it's not early detection. Breast cancer from the time cells mutate into cancer to the time it could kill a woman if it were not detected takes anywhere from 15 to 20 years. It's a long process. It's not something that you have breast cancer one day, and if you don't do anything about it, the next day you're going to be dead, or a week later you're going to be dead, or even a month, or a year, or 5 years, or 10 years. Breast cancer is a very slow-growing process. Even the aggressive ones are still slow-growing because it takes time for one cell to divide and become two cells, and for those two cells to multiply into four cells and four cells into eight and on and on and on. It takes approximately 90 days for one cell to become two cells. When a mammogram finds breast cancer, you've got over 1 billion, and I'm saying it three times so that you make sure you understand it, 1 billion cancer cells there before a mammogram finds it. That's not early detection, and that's why you're not hearing them say that anymore, because they can't document that. It's not true. It never was true, but there's too much information to the contrary now. At that stage, you are 10 years into a 15-year process. You are fighting for your life at that point. They've got 5 years to save your life, if they can do so. Because once you've had cancer for 10 years, it has had quite a bit of time to spread to other parts of your body. The data that's coming in from all around the world is indicating that mammogram does not save lives. A huge study just came in. It was reported on the television the early part of this month, indicating it was from Norway, where hundreds of thousands of women were screened and they indicated, and they looked at the statistics and the data and the survival rate, what was considered something that saved lives was 15%. You had a 15% increase in survival rate, so they thought, by using mammogram for screening. 15% is not a large percentage, but that's what the real numbers were. But when they did this study and they really did dig into the numbers, they found out that the 15% was really 2.4 per thousand. So that's not even 2.4%. That's 0.00024. That's not very much.
That's what you're
supposedly gaining by using mammogram for screening. That's the real numbers. Now, if you look at mammogram in terms of its increased risk of causing breast cancer, and yes, the radiation from mammogram can cause breast cancer, and most people don't realize, and even the doctors that tell them that it's not very much radiation don't realize, is that the type of radiation that's used in mammogram is ionizing radiation. That's different from the radiation from the sun. That amount of radiation from mammogram gives you the equivalent radiation exposure of one, I want to make sure I get it right, at least 100 chest x-rays. At least 100.
Really?
There is no doctor in the world that would recommend that a woman sit behind 100 chest x-rays. All right? But that's the amount of radiation that you get from one. Well, actually, I'm underquoting it. I'll read it to you. Mammograms expose your body to radiation that can be 1,000 times greater than that from a chest x-ray.
Wow.
It's not a minuscule amount of radiation. And even if it was, it's the type of radiation, not the amount. That ionizing radiation has been documented as a cancer-causing agent at any and all levels. There have been no studies ever that indicated what level of radiation exposure is considered safe as opposed to what level of radiation is considered unsafe, that all radiation exposure increases your risk of cancer. Now, if you follow the guidelines that are coming from out of the American Cancer Association, which recommend that women start screening with mammogram at age 40, by the time she reaches age 50, she will have had 10 mammograms. The amount of radiation that she would have exposed herself to in that 10-year period would be the equivalent of 5 rads. They measure radiation in measurements of rads, means RAD, radiation exposure dose. The rads, each rad increases your risk by 0.5%. So if you have 10 mammograms, you have increased your risk by 5%. That's your risk of getting cancer by 5%. So if you do the math, then it becomes obvious why you would want to look at a method that does not use radiation. One, the radiation exposure increases your risk by 5% if you have 10 mammograms in 10 years from age 40 to 50. You get a 5% increase. It reduces your survival rate by 0.00024. So you're taking on more of a risk than you are saving your life. A smarter approach is to use something that does not increase your risk and can give you detection 10 years earlier, where simple things can turn it around. Very simple things. So then you have to ask yourself, well, if all of these statistics are out here and all of this is the truth, why is it that the American Cancer Association or the Breast Cancer Society continue to recommend mammogram screening for women? And that's where you really delve into the facts. The reality is, if the equipment manufacturers and the film manufacturers that are puppeteering this entire industry.
Mm-hmm.
You've got companies like GE and DuPont,
mm-hmm.
Siemens. These are the people that make mammographic equipment. You've got Kodak. And there's another big one that makes film other than Kodak. Piker, they call it, P-I-K-E-R. These are the companies that make the big money. It's not what people think, that the radiologist is making a whole lot of money and that's why they're recommending mammogram, or the breast surgeons are making a whole lot of money and that's why they're recommending mammogram. I'm not saying that these people aren't making any money, but that's not where the real money is. The real money in cancer detection and treatment, which is a multi-billion-dollar industry in this country, is in the manufacture and sale of equipment, as well as the sale and usage of pharmaceuticals, such as chemotherapy, radiation treatment, and tamoxifen, the hormone therapy that women take for 5 years after they've had their surgery, chemo, and radiation, because they can't guarantee you that they got all the cells didn't spread to someplace else. Of course they can't guarantee it because they found it so late. So they put the women on tamoxifen for 5 years. And the pharmaceutical companies make money from that. So it's a money maker. That's the answer to the question. Why is it that mammogram still gets promoted? Because it's a money maker. One film mammogram machine sells for $100,000. One digital mammogram machine sells for $400,000. So that when they put on, like last week or the week before, they had on Dr. Oz, when they misled the public with a headline that said, "Alternatives to mammogram," and then had all of these women tuning in to find out, because why? Why would women want to tune in to hear about an alternative to mammogram? Because they hate mammogram. That's why. They know women hate mammogram. So all women are going to be interested in an alternative to mammogram, and then they get the women on there and they start talking about digital mammogram and call that an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
What's being done to women is no less than a crime against humanity. It can't be considered anything else. It would never happen. It's possible to have testicular cancer, but they don't recommend men squash their scrotums and radiate them every year to find out if they have testicular cancer. It's only the type of abuse that happens in the healthcare system to women.
Mm-hmm.
And because women are being manipulated by fear, they become easy victims. But if they take control of their own health, don't use a cancer-causing agent to screen for breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Correct their poor health condition while it's still early, then they don't have to fear breast cancer.
How often,
that's my basic message, and that's why I do what I do.
How often should a woman have a screening for the thermal imaging?
Thermography is a test of how the body works, as compared to mammogram, which is a test of how the body looks. Uh-huh. Thermography looks at the activity in the tissues. And since it's not a video camera, it's a still camera, the uh-huh. only way that we can completely assess the accuracy of the test in terms of its predictive ability is to be able to compare one set of images with another
mm-hmm.
to see if they're stable, if the activity
right.
has changed or has it stayed the same. Because we know that cancer cells double approximately every 90 days, the company that I work with, which is called Meditherm,
mm-hmm.
recommends that a woman have an initial scan and then a follow-up 3 months later. This way, any areas that indicate increased activity
mm-hmm.
compared to the first to another one will either be the same and indicate that this is a benign condition, not something active and growing, or mm-hmm. that it's not benign because it's changed and now you need to do further testing to find out what's caused the change. That further testing might include a clinical breast exam, mm-hmm. an MRI, a sonogram, or a mammogram, depending upon what the results of each of those tests indicate. But mammogram should not be the first thing you do. It should be the last thing you do. And the purpose of mammogram is not for screening. The purpose of mammogram is for biopsy. So if a biopsy is not necessary, neither is the mammogram. And part of the problem with using mammogram for screening is that mammogram says, I see a lump. Well, most women have lumps in their breasts at some point in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Mammogram says, I see a lump. But it can't tell if the lump is threatening to the woman or non-threatening to the woman. The only way they can tell that is if they biopsy it. So this is why you've got so many women terrified because the mammogram saw something
mm-hmm.
and they had to go and have a biopsy just to find out that there was nothing there to be concerned about. 79% of all biopsies come back negative. That's an unnecessary procedure. That mm-hmm. is part of boosting up the cost of health care because those biopsies are being paid for by the insurance companies and they cost over $1,000 just to have a biopsy.
Mm-hmm.
The biopsy could be hazardous because it can help spread cancer cells. So this is why, again, it's not safe to use mammogram for screening.
Mm-hmm.
Once a stable baseline is established with the thermography, then the recommendation is once a year. Now, a lot of women say, well, why do I need to come back every year if my mind was normal the last time, the last two times? Because things change, that's why. Because things like stress, environmental toxins, food, additives, pesticides, herbicides, air pollution, dry cleaning fluids, you name it. All of these things have the potential to mutate normal cells into cancer cells. And so if you want to find out the earliest possible way that something has changed in your body, then you do thermography every year. This way you find mm-hmm. it out really early. A mammogram would not find it at that stage. A sonogram would not find it at that stage. An MRI would not find it at that stage. But finding it at that stage for you lets you know, okay, now it's time for me to make some changes in my diet and my lifestyle so I can prevent this thing from causing damage to my body.
Well, my question, I'm still on the same train of thought. If, say, God forbid, a woman has an issue that she unbeknownst to her,
mm-hmm.
and then she doesn't know it. So now So she's going and she's going to try something new, and she's going to go and she's going to try the imaging. Thermal imaging. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. What happens is when they do this test, she has to wait 3 months to find out whether or not she had an abnormality.
No, because if she's got advanced stage cancer, that's going to be evident on the first test. Those tissues are going to be malfunctioning.
How about she
cancer
has
cells? Grow faster than normal tissue, even though breast cancer is a very slow-growing test. I mean, even though breast cancer is a very slow-growing disease, those tissues grow faster than your normal tissue, because your normal tissues grow more slowly than every 90 days, all right, or double it more slowly than every 90 days. In order to do that, they need increased nutrition to support that growth process. They cannot double approximately every 90 days on the normal blood supply that's there to feed the normal tissue. So they actually send out chemicals that activate blood vessels that to bring in an increased blood supply to the area. And that's something that thermography can show that a mammogram cannot. That's called angiogenesis or neovascularity. These are interchangeable terms, neo meaning new and vascularity meaning blood vessel formation. And that's mm-hmm. something that we can see on thermography, even on the first one. So if somebody's first scan comes back with evidence of neovascularity, they don't tell them to wait 3 months to see if it changes. That's a telltale sign right there. The doctors that do the interpretation from Meditherm would advise the woman to go immediately for follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But it's the benign conditions. It's the things like fibrocystic breast, for instance, which is very common in women.
Mm-hmm.
The most common cause of unnecessary biopsy is the fibrocystic breast. Those things show up on the first thermography also, without a blood supply going to them.
Mm-hmm.
And to be absolutely sure that that's what it is, they recommend a follow-up test to rule out the false positive. Also, to rule out, for instance, if you've got a cancer there in the breast that's slower growing than some of the others. It may not show neovascularity on the first one, but it would on the second. If it doesn't
mm-hmm.
show neovascularity on the first one, it's not going to be an active cancer process that would show up on a mammogram. Mammogram also will show cancers, and this is, you know, confusing to a lot of people because a lot of people think that all cancers kill, and that's not true. There are cancers, not just in the breast, but in other parts of the body, that do not kill. They are just there. They don't
mm-hmm.
grow. They don't spread. They don't wreak havoc in the body, primarily because your immune system protects you against them, walls them off, keeps them
mm-hmm.
contained, does not allow them access to an increased food supply, and so they never grow. Mammogram will find those cancers. And those women will be treated for cancer unnecessarily and have been. If that type of cancer exists in a woman and she has a thermography, it's not even going to show up on the thermography. So it spares her the unnecessary treatment. And many women have been treated, even with mastectomy, that didn't need any treatment whatsoever. And I know that's controversial and it's hard to believe, but the reality is, years ago, when autopsy was relatively common after death, Lots of families were convinced to allow their family members, allowed the hospitals to do autopsies on their family members for medical research purposes. And what they found in many women who died from heart attack or stroke or even accident, diabetes or something like that, was a lot of these women also had breast cancer. But the cancer was contained. It was an also noted. It was not the cause of death. It was either so slow growing that it would have survived the woman herself and did, or it was just not active. It was a dormant cancer. Well, mammogram can't tell the difference between a dormant cancer and an active cancer. It just says, I see something. The biopsy can't tell the difference as to whether the cancer is dormant, which means inactive, or active. So they treat all cancers the same way, the active ones and the inactive ones, because they can't tell the difference. If they used thermography, they would be able to tell the difference, because the ones that are not active are not going to show up on a thermography, because thermography is the test of activity. So using thermography for screening is the smartest thing. It's the most ethical thing to do, and it is the most accurate thing to do. But guess what? You're not going to make GE, DuPont, Siemens, Kodak, and Piker billions of dollars if you do it that way. And that's what they want to do. They want to sell their equipment. That costs a lot of money. And this is what's behind the whole drive. They are the ones that put the money into all of this marketing campaign. I will read you a quote from the American Cancer Association's communications director. An ACS, which stands for American Cancer Society, communications director even admitted that the statement that mammograms detection leads to a cure nearly 100% of the time was not based on science, but marketing potential. The ad isn't based on a study. When you make an advertisement, you just say what you can get women, to get women in the door. You exaggerate a point. Mammography today is a lucrative and highly competitive business. This is quoted. This is quoted from somebody at the American Cancer Society. It's a travesty what's going on. And they've spread this travesty into professional sports. So in October now, you see sports players, golfers and football players and baseball players wearing pink on their uniforms. The whole pink ribbon Breast Cancer Awareness Month is a marketing campaign. It was started primarily by AstraZeneca, which is a pharmaceutical company that makes tamoxifen. They even have pink labels on liquor bottles and wine bottles during the month of October when they know that alcohol ingestion is one of the causes, one of the things that increases your risk of getting breast cancer. But they even put pink on that. They have no conscience. There's no ethics involved here. The purpose here is not for the women and the best interests of women. The purpose is to make money, and that's the only thing they're trying to do. That's the only thing. And they just convinced the medical establishment that this is the way to go. And they've got them afraid not to recommend it. Because late-stage breast cancer detection is the number one negligence lawsuit. And so what they've drummed into the doctors' heads If you don't recommend mammogram to all of your patients who are 40 years and over, then if she's diagnosed with late-stage breast cancer at some time in her life, she could turn around and blame you for negligence because you didn't recommend the test. But the reality is, using a cancer-causing agent to find out if somebody has cancer is contributing to late-stage breast cancer detection. Using a detection method that can't possibly find the cancer until two-thirds of the course of the disease is late-stage detection. And if women don't stand up for themselves and say, I'm not going to do this anymore, then nothing's going to change. So if you want to change in the outcome, you have to change what you're doing. You can't expect that equipment manufacturers that are making billions of dollars a year are going to have a conscience and say, okay, we're going to stop doing this now.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do it. As long as they're making money, they're not going to do it. The only thing that's going to change the status quo is women themselves saying, I'm not going to do it anymore. That's not the way I'm going. If I don't need to expose myself to radiation, I'm not going to. If there's a need, that's one thing. But if there's not, I'm not going to increase my risk of getting breast cancer to find out if I have it. Guess what? When you stop going in there, the radiologists then are not going to make the money. If they're not going to make the money, then they're not going to buy the equipment. If they don't buy the equipment, then the manufacturers will stop making it. That's what's going to change the system, not anything else.
When one comes to you to have the thermal imaging done, what preparation should they put in place to do this?
Oh, it's very simple preparation. They're just not going to have anything on the skin of the area that's being imaged, like powders and perfumes and lotions and things like that. But other than that, you know, they shouldn't have done any strenuous exercise or anything that would strain their chest muscles for 24 hours before they come in. But other than that, there's no major preparation for this. This is a very simple test.
And how long is the test?
The actual test itself requires a 15-minute cool-down period, and then the actual screening takes about 5 minutes. So I would say it was 20 minutes. Then you do it without clothes. So you dress and undress, and you cool down, and you have your scan. So, I mean, 30 minutes you can be in and out of there. In the time that we're doing the cool down, there's also filling out of medical history and that type of thing. All of that goes to the doctor that does the actual interpretation. The interpretation of these images are done, let me just get this in here, by board-certified medical doctors that have had 200 hours of specialized training in how to interpret thermography images. And they're known as thermologists, certified clinical thermologists. My title is certified clinical thermographer. So I take the images, get the patient's history, send in the report, send in the images and the history electronically over a private intranet, not on the internet. Patient's privacy is completely maintained. I get the results back from the interpretive service doctor and then send the results out to the patient herself so that she doesn't have to wait for somebody's office to contact her to let her know what the results of her tests are. She gets the results herself. And then she can take those results to whatever healthcare provider she decides to take them to. So it's a much more respectful way of handling things than the assembly line type of meat market approach that goes on now and fear-mongering that goes on now about breast screening, it really just does not have to be that way. But as long as, it, you know, fear is a manipulative technique, and it's very, very successful, that if you, you keep things in the dark and you frighten people to death, and then you can manipulate them into doing whatever you want them to do. The women that come in for thermography are definitely looking for a different approach, and that's what they get.
And how do you get this message out to people? I'm sure many of my listeners are hearing this for the first time in terms of thermal imaging. How do you get the word out? How do people learn about this?
Well, the majority of people are hearing about it from other women who are doing it. All right,
okay.
It's word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that's the best way. You know, when you're talking about revolutionizing systems, systems as powerful and big as the pharmaceutical companies and the American Cancer Society, these things don't revolutionize overnight.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gradual process. I mean, you've got to give it to them. They've done a very, very good job in their marketing and in their propaganda. And so people's minds have to be changed. It's not going to be, you know, look on television and you're going to see, you know, all of this. Even though thermography has been on television on all of the three major channels, 2, 4, and 7, it's been on Fox News. But the marketing campaign of mammogram has been done very well, and it's, you know, they have the money to buy the airtime and do that kind of thing. So primarily it's word of mouth. Thermographers around the country, most of them have websites. For people who don't know, or don't know anybody that's had thermography, a lot of women just Google alternative to mammogram and they will find thermography that way. But it's primarily women telling women.
A call the second week of this month, you know, in promotion to, you know, breast cancer awareness and research. And Erica, some of my listeners who are on the line or listening on their computers are Artist International distributors. And one of the first items that they came out with is the Angel Bra 20 years ago. And so one of the platinum presents, that's the highest you can get in the area in the Artist International multi-level line, she spoke at the end highly about the thermal imaging and really had encouraged the listeners to get this. My question to you, why isn't it more readily available and widely used?
Well, again, the majority of people know about breast screening get referred from their doctors. The doctor says to them, gives them a prescription and says, go and have your mammogram. All right, so that's where what they do and where they go. They take their health advice from the doctor. The doctor says, go have a mammogram, and they have a mammogram. The doctors get their health advice from the American Cancer Society. The American Cancer Society determines the standard of care, and so that's what the doctors follow. Interestingly enough, the head of the American Cancer Society, Dr. Brawley, last year when the government task force came out and recommended that women not start breast screening until age 50, and when they say breast screening, they were talking about mammogram, and that they not have it every year, but have it every 2 years or every 3 years, it was Brawley himself that admitted that the benefits of having routine mammogram screening were highly inflated. It was he that said that. And then all the manufacturers got next to him, so now you'll never hear him say it again. But he was quoted as saying that. So as long as women get their depend solely on their health for their health advice from their doctors, they're going to get what comes out of the American Cancer Society. But interestingly enough, it was radiologists themselves that got thermography FDA approved for breast screening back in 1982. This is not a new technique. This was FDA approved for breast screening in 1982, and it was radiologists that got it FDA approved. It was radiologists that got it covered by insurance back in the 80s because they were looking for a replacement for mammogram. They realized back in the 1980s that mammogram could cause women breast cancer because of the radiation. And they were looking for a non-radiation method to screen women's breasts back then. The problem was they took it from a military tool, which is what it was then and still is. I mean, thermal imaging is used in a lot of areas. It's not just health. They originally used it and still do to find the enemy. The United States military had it as classified information, and they declassified it in 1981. In radiologists.
Fire department
uses it. The airports use it. When they were trying to screen people for SARS and West Nile virus and all of that type of thing, who was coming into the country with various diseases that they thought would be contagious, it was thermal imaging equipment that they were using. You know, so it's not just for health, but its application for health was FDA approved in 1982 as a breast screener. And it was covered by insurance. And 6 years ago when I started doing this, it was covered by insurance. But the AMA lobbied to have the codes deleted from the insurance profile because they didn't want the competition. Because they knew that if thermography was covered by insurance, that women would do this and not mammogram. So they're deliberately trying to suppress your availability to getting thermography. They're using your economic ability to keep you from having this test because they want you to keep having the mammogram. Again, keep in mind, like I said, the American medical community does not have a treatment plan for early stage cancer. Why? Because they don't study prevention. They do not study nutrition. They do not study lifestyle association with cancer until after you've already been diagnosed. Once you've been diagnosed and treated for cancer, then they tell you, well, you know what? Statistics have proven that women who exercise have a significantly reduced incidence of getting breast cancer. Well, what reduces your incidence of recurrence also reduces your incidence of occurrence. But that's prevention, and they don't study prevention. The foods, the alcohol, the reduction of stress, all of the pesticides and herbicides and dry cleaning fluids and all of these kind of things that they tell women to avoid after they've been treated for breast cancer. These are the things that would, you know, if you reduce your exposure, these are the things that would prevent it in the first place. But they don't study prevention. So if you come in and you have a thermography done, and the thermography indicates that you have some abnormal tissue activity there, it doesn't mean that you have cancer there, but it may mean that you have just put out a welcome mat for it. And if you don't want to get cancer, you pull in the welcome mat. And that's about making basic lifestyle and dietary changes that they don't study in medical school. But your alternative care providers know how to do that. But they call those people quacks, all right? Your homeopath would know how to tell you how to prevent these types of things. Your naturopath would know how to tell you. Your licensed acupuncturist and herbalist would be able to tell you how to do that. There are lots of alternative providers that have studied nutrition and have studied lifestyle habits that contribute to all types of cancers. they'll be able to look at your thermographies and see what's going on there and say, look, this is what you can do to clear this up. But they don't want our medical system doesn't want the competition, so they call them quacks. So what women really have to do is sit down and spend some time thinking about who really has their best interest at heart. Mm-hmm. Are these people working for you? Or are they working for equipment manufacturers? Are they working for you, or are they working for pharmaceutical companies? Are they working for you, or are they working to keep themselves from getting sued? Who's working for you? That's the question that you need to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And then just about everybody has access to computers these days and search engines. If you're not satisfied with the care, if you don't want a late-stage approach, there are thermography centers all over this country. There are thermography centers all over the world. It's not just, you know, here's one that you can go to. They're everywhere. A lot of people have come to me in my Manhattan office and said, how long have you been here? I said, I've been here for 6 years. They live around the corner and
wow.
didn't know. All right? The point is you have to step out of the box. You have to change your mind. You have to think differently. You can't just assume that if the doctor tells you to have a mammogram, that's because that's the only thing to do. You can't assume that the doctor even knows anything else other than mammogram, and you cannot assume that the doctor has your best interest at heart. Because a lot of times doctors practice defensively, meaning they're trying to avoid the lawsuit. So it's recommending what's best for them may not be what's best for you. If you die from breast cancer 6 years after you've been diagnosed by a mammogram, as far as the medical statistics are concerned, you are a success story because you survived 5 years, even though you're dead in six. If you died in 5.5 years, they still consider you a survivor, but you're dead. That's how ridiculous the whole thing is. Why do they use 5 years as the benchmark of survival? Because they know they got it 10 years into a 15-year process. That's why. So if they found it in year 10, and if they had not found it, you'd be dead in year 5, they consider you a survivor if you're still alive 5 years later. So if you're dead 5.5 years later, or 6 years, or 7 or 8 years from the same breast cancer, maybe not the one they pulled out of the breast, but the one you got in the next breast because they never got at what caused it in the first place, you're still a survivor as far as they're concerned, but you're dead. So the issue is don't wait until you are two-thirds away into the cancer process to find out that you have cancer. Find out when you can do something about it, you personally. You have the power because you're the one that's feeding yourself certain things. You're the one that's exposing yourself to certain things, some of which you know cause cancer and some of which you don't. But you're the one that can change that. By the time mammogram finds it, you are no longer the one that can make the changes. You are in the hands of the system, and you are hoping and praying that you're in that 0.00024% who will survive this. Don't believe the hype. If somebody's telling you mammogram saves lives, don't believe the hype. 0.00024. And if you want to ignore that study and just go with what was going on out there before that study, 15%. That's not a lot of life-saving. That's not a lot.
What would you recommend for a person, the people who are listening, in terms of a diet? What diet would you recommend?
There's no magical diet. You know what? I always tell people to do what they know. Start with what they know, all right? Most people know what they're eating that they shouldn't be eating, And they know what they should be eating that they're not. They know what they're doing that they shouldn't be doing, and they know what they're not doing that they shouldn't be doing. Start with what you know. All right? There's no one diet that's right for everybody. But we do know that there are certain things that do increase your risk of breast cancer. All right? And obesity is one of them. Why? Because estrogen, abnormal levels of estrogen, fuel breast cancer. Doesn't cause it, but it fuels it, which means it energizes it, which means it helps it to grow and spread. It doesn't cause it, but it helps it to grow and spread. Fat cells make estrogen. Fat cells also store estrogen. So the more fat cells you have on you, the more risk you have of getting breast cancer. So anything in the diet that's going to increase your fat cell in the body is going to increase your risk of breast cancer. We know that cancer hates oxygen, that it cannot grow in an oxygenated environment. So anything that's going to increase the oxygen in your body is going to reduce the risk of breast cancer as well as other cancers. What does that mean? That means you have to exercise. That means you can't sit on the couch and ride wherever you go. We know that vitamin D levels need to be adequate in order to help prevent against cancer, which means what? You have to go out and get some sunshine, especially if you're African-American or dark pigmented. You need the sun because that's where you get the vitamin D. And if you have a lifestyle that's not about getting sun exposure because you're indoors all the time and you're in the car all the time and you never get outside in the sun, or you slather sunscreen all over you because your dermatologist told you you could get skin cancer if you don't do that, then that means you have to supplement vitamin D in your diet. You know you're supposed to eat dark green leafy vegetables in order to maintain healthy cells. Cancer does not come from a state of health. It comes from poor health. Thermography can help detect the poor health, even before there's cancer. It can give you the visual. And what the visual does is help it give people a heads up. I like to give people an analogy that makes it easy for them to understand. Tragedy happened here in Westchester County not too long ago where a drunk driver with a car full of kids got up on the Taconic Parkway and drove the wrong way and ran into a car of three guys going on a fishing trip. Killed all the guys in the car, killed herself, killed all of the kids except her son. All right? Horrible. What if somebody traveling the other side of the road saw this woman going up the wrong way? What if that somebody was somebody who knew these guys going for the fishing trip? Called them up on their cell phone and said, "Man, you better get off the road. There's somebody coming towards you, and if you stay where you are, they're going to crash right into you and kill you." They would have gotten off that road. They would have done everything possible to get off that road because they knew something was coming at them that could kill them if they didn't do that. Well, thermography is like that cell phone call. It's your wake-up call. It lets you know long, long, long before you would be diagnosed with cancer that you have stepped onto that road, and if you don't get off and make some changes, that diagnosis of breast cancer is going to hit you in the face, and then you have a problem. They might be able to save your life, and they might not. You would get off that road if you knew it was coming. That's why you have thermography. Not to detect cancer that you already have, but to know that you stepped onto the road so you can get off. That's what prevention means. That's what early detection means. Early enough to make a significant difference in your life. That's not mammogram. Never was, never will be, whether they digitalize it or not. It's still late stage. Digital mammography just makes it possible for the radiologist not to miss your cancer, not to miss it. It's not finding it any earlier than the film mammogram. It's just making it possible for him not to miss it. All right? You don't want a mammogram to find your cancer. That's the issue. No woman wants mammogram to find their cancer. But then you got a mess to deal with.
Yeah.
A real mess. You want to find the poor health condition that leads to the cancer. Remember, cancer doesn't come from health. It comes from poor health. So you want to find the health of your tissues, and that's what thermography tells you. What is the health? Are these tissues functioning just like all the rest of the tissues in the breast? If so, they're healthy. Are they functioning differently than the rest of the tissues? If so, they're not. Change the poor health condition, and then you don't have to worry about breast cancer. And guess what? The thing that makes your breast healthy also makes the rest of you healthy. So not only do you not have to worry about breast cancer, but you don't have to worry about any other kind of cancer either. Because, again, cancer does not come from health. And it's a misnomer. This is why women are so amazed and shocked when their doctor tells them that they have cancer in their breasts. They're like, well, when did I get this? I had my mammogram every single year. My mammogram last year was normal. It was normal the year before that. It was normal the year before that. How is it now you're telling me I have stage 3 cancer or stage 4 cancer, which is worse? That means it's spread to other parts of the body. How could I possibly have stage 4 cancer and my mammogram was normal last year? That's when you get the truth. That's when the doctor says to you, well, actually, you've had this cancer for about 10 years.
Wow.
It just had to get big enough for the mammogram to find it. That's a travesty.
Yeah.
That's an absolute travesty if there was no other way. If there was no other way, then that's the best they can offer. That's the best you can do, and be grateful that you found it 10 years into its development. Maybe they might. You might be in the 15%, which is really 0.0002%. Maybe you'll be in that category of women who can survive. But the odds are against it. So it's a travesty to continue to recommend using something that can't find the cancer until 10 years down the road when there's something else out there that's FDA approved for breast screening, and it has been out there since 1982. And just because mainstream medicine does not have a treatment plan for early stage cancer does not mean it can't be treated when it's early. It's just that they don't have it. And trust me, if they came up with a pill, if a pharmaceutical company came up with a pill to treat early stage cancer, like the stage that's found in thermography, guess what? They'd trash those mammograms in a minute and start telling women to do thermography, because now they can make money off of the treatment. But until they can make money off of the treatment, they're going to continue to recommend what they can make money off of. I'm sorry, that's just not for me. I don't know too many women that when they have all of the facts would choose that route. Women choose that route because they don't have all of the facts. That's why. That's why it's not mainstream. It's not profitable. That's why.
Well, we're running out of time. But I have to say, the information in which you provided my listeners was absolutely amazing. And I would love to have you on the show again to talk more in depth about thermoenergy. And but before we close out, can you give my listeners your contact information?
Right. Anybody interested in finding out more information about thermography can go to my website, which is thermography, which is thermography.com. www.newdimensionthermography.com. Or they can contact me in Westchester at 914-636-1842, 914-636-1842, or in New York City at 212-877-3181, 212-877-3181.
And if people want to email you, do you have an email address that they can email you?
Well, there's
to have
an email.
Questions?
The email address is on the website, but it's just info@newdimensionthermography.com.
Excellent. Well, Sandra, thank you so much for all the nuggets in which you shared with my listeners today. It was really truly a wealth of information. I hope that you get some positive responses from my listeners, and I hope that from this call, it will promote and inspire people to start to look at another way of doing prevention, so that, like you said before, they're not running behind the eight ball trying to save their life when they're already 10 years already into the game.
Right. Yeah, it's just a travesty what's going on right now. It's not necessary. Breast cancer can be wiped out completely.
Wow.
It can be wiped out completely. It doesn't have to be women losing their lives like they are. Unfortunately, a lot of the women are losing their lives from the treatment, not from the disease itself. But that's another story.
Okay, well, with that, again, I say thank you so much. And for my listeners, this really ends our series, our four-week series on breast cancer research and prevention. And I thank you. And, again, you can go back to all of the past shows, and they're by date, and listen to them. I would encourage each and every one of you to share that information with your family and your friends. This is such great important information that's been shared these last 4 weeks. Thank you for listening, and be well, and we'll see you next week. Thank you. Good night.
AVS Media Demo.